This is episode 98, recorded on March 1st, 2013. Peckard Pokes at Zero Dark Fingerprints.
Do you want to stream Peckard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peckard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peckard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
Happy birthday, Medusa Rants.
Yes, it is Medusa.
Happy birthday to you.
It is Medusa Rants' birthday. And join us from the West Coast on her very, very birthdayth edition.
Blushing. Bride here.
Brushing birthday girl is Medusa Rents.
From the sunny land of California. Thank you, men.
You are welcome. Hey, we do things for everybody who has a birthday on this show, as long as they're on the show
sweet.
At the time.
So, well, despite what everybody says about you.
This is why I don't go in the rain, because I just melt, you know. And if you believe that, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you, too.
I'm interested.
Okay, how about some swampland in Florida? Okay.
I want proof. Go out in the rain.
I'll use the bridge.
Well, I'm stuck in the middle of winter. I can't. We'll have to wait till spring. until then, we'll have to deal with...
You could jump in the shower. Just bring your phone or something.
A waterproof iPhone.
Only problem with that is the phone melts with me, so can't do that. Even if it's waterproof.
So then it's private evidence.
That's right.
Verifiable.
Exactly. You have to believe it on faith. No, just kidding. before we get started, we should be rebroadcasting tonight on mixler.com/Peckard-Pokes.at. Mixler. There's probably a few second delay, so if you go over there and take a listen and leave a comment, take a listen, and it also has all the old shows, from everything from the beta podcast all the way to the most current one. Anyway, let's get going to our first topic for this evening. If you have a newer style computer, you can have access to biometric data where it has, like, it scans your fingerprint, so it goes, oh, well, now I can unlock because I have your fingerprint on file. This works with some phones also. There is a place out in, of all places, South Dakota in Rapid City. What they're doing is they are working with purchases using fingerprints. But it's not just that. It's a biofeedback. It tells not only that the person that has that fingerprint is there. So, like, say, you know, you've ever seen some movies, they like chop off some person's thumb or whatever, and they stick it up against the machine and go, oh, yeah, that's him. No, this doesn't work like this. What it does is it actually registers the hemoglobin in your body, and it makes sure there's a pulse there as well. So it's a double protection there. What was really interesting here, they said here in the article, is we are hell-bent on privacy issues here in the U.S. We get all up in arms when someone talks about scanning us or recording our information, but we throw up everything about us on Facebook and give up all our personal information for 10% off at a shoe store for instant credit. Which is so damn true. Because you know these people out there, you know, they can save $5. Hey, just give us your personal information, where you're living, and an email address, and we'll send you the coupon, you know. But I like this idea. I mean, at some point, maybe in the future, when I'm old and gray and can't remember what the hell my name is, this may be something available everywhere. Joe, your thoughts.
This article uses a cool word, biocryptology.
Yes.
It means using physical traits to encode private information. While this is only being used in convenience stores on one South Dakota campus where there's little risk of misuse, putting such a scanner on an ATM or a gas pump could lead to dismembered fingers being used. But as you mentioned, the cool thing about this scanner is it actually detects if the finger or thumb is alive.
Right.
It senses the pulse.
Right.
So that's a good safeguard on that. The article goes on to mention that this could bring up some Big Brother privacy issues, but I really don't see that. I'm an old school ACLUer myself, and you know, I don't see this any different than just swiping a credit card.
Right.
Because you know, you're authorizing your own bank account and they track that anyway.
Right.
So it's the same thing.
Yes, exactly. And you know, the thing is though, in this study, what they're doing here is they're basically doing this as a test basis. So all the people who are doing this are all voluntarily. So
they had 50 volunteers step forward and say they want to do it.
Yep. So that if that's any indication, then this may be accepted for, you know, by a larger group. You know, when it gets out to the more general public, you mm-hmm. know, there's always going to be those naysayers and the crazies out there going, and it's a Big Brother, and it's the beast, and they're going to take your minds, they're going to take your idea, we're going to get a scanned number, you know. So it's
being rolled out on a technology campus. The kids are there mm-hmm. studying technology and science, so all those kids are totally for things like this anyway.
Right, exactly. You know, the thing is, though, I have seen there's a TV show, it's called Mythbusters. They have done things like this where they have been able to take the fingerprint and put it on something and then use that to break open fingerprint safes or whatever. But mm-hmm. this, I think, might stop that from being able to do that, because with that type of technology, putting, like, say, I don't know if they put glue or what, they didn't exactly specify how they did it. I don't know if that would eliminate the ability for the pulse that was be able to be detected on there as well.
Unless they kidnapped you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, unless they kidnapped you. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I guess that would be my thought. I hope it's the last thought left. Unless they kidnapped you.
Yes.
I did note that they said, if this flies here in the conservative Midwest, it's going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of believe that, you know, the technology exists. It's here to stay. It is much easier.
Yes.
It's very unlikely that you're going to be kidnapped unless you're in Russia. So just don't go there.
Bring me your fingerprints. I want them.
And even your children. You know, I don't know now how that's going to work with children making purchases with their fingerprint. If they can go out with...
I think they would probably have their kids sign up for an account at that point. I mean, they would have to. I don't think that's any different than, say, having a taking a kid to the bank and having them sign up for a savings account.
Yeah, that's true. As long as the kid doesn't go mad with the.
I mean, they can. I'm sure they'll put safeguards in there, so you know the kid can only like spend say $10 a week or a month, however. You know, some banks do that kind of stuff too.
But it's still very reasonable and sound technology. I'm all for it. You guys have pretty much ripped it up, so I'll leave in your capable hands.
Okay, that sounds good.
Put your finger on the ATM. I said put your finger on the ATM.
My birthday, I won't do it.
Speaking of taking people and kidnapping them, a hacker has been able to show there's a security flaw in Facebook that allows them to see any Facebook profile. They can log in as like a web developer, and then with that web development access, they can access all your personal messages, all your email, all your other accesses. So far, there's no instances of this running around in the wild, as it were, but it's still pretty scary that the authorization codes, or the OAuth it's called in Facebook, it's this flaw is out there. The person, his name is Goldschlager. Isn't that a drink, I think? But he said that the bug allowed him to steal access tokens that gain full access to the profile as the developer, as I just said. They could do management for profile photos, so forth. And the thing is, these tokens for these third-party apps do not expire. They do not expire ever unless the person who's using that particular account changes their password. Until then, they're logged in forever. Joe, your thoughts?
I don't like using apps on Facebook. It seems like all the major security flaws come from allowing Facebook apps to access your account.
Yes.
A lot of these apps also, I question their honesty, because like, you know, it seems like, you know, oh, play this fun game and it's a bullshit game and you allow it to be on there and it's actually tracking the things that you search and do and all that kind of stuff. This guy here was able to casually take control of any account he wanted by posing as an app developer. And the article mentions that Facebook was able to plug up the hole, but this security consultant is claiming to have found more holes. And he mentioned them on his blog, but Facebook hasn't acknowledged those yet.
Yeah. The thing is with apps and Facebook and, well, any computer really, is that it doesn't matter how many holes they plug because new holes are always going to show up.
There's new holes that they don't know about.
Oh, yeah. There is no secure computer. It's not possible. Yeah. You know why? Because people have to have access to them. Until they can make a computer completely secure and does not require a human access to it to do the things you need to do, it just automatically just does it for you, then, you know, we're going to be kind of sitting waiting for these holes to be plugged up. It's playing whack-a-mole.
You might know more about this. I knew a guy who was kind of computer clever, and he said there was a way you can make your browser look like Google.
Oh, and, well, there is kind of. Yeah, it depends on the program. Sometimes you can get extra. They're like themes. You can do that to the whole computer.
No. It's not a theme. It's like when Google does a web search, it sees through all of the privacy protections and it sees through all the password protections. It just sees websites. And there's a way to make your browser look like Google searches.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
So you can use your browser to actually see through all the privacy settings on Facebook. You can look at any porn site. Anything. Yeah, anything that's on the internet you can see because all the websites think you're Google.
Oh, really? Now, that I hadn't heard of, actually. There's something similar to that many years ago. It makes your browser, when it goes out to the web, it makes the server that it's pinging at the time, makes the makes that server think that you're – let's say you get on there as Internet Explorer, Internet Exploiter, right? Mm-hmm. And then you – basically put this plug-in on the browser, and that browser will tell the site that say, oh, no, I'm on Firefox. Oh, I'm on Chrome.
So it's masking what browser you're using.
Right. And basically that's what it does. And it's you can even tell you – it can even pretend that you're on a whole different operating system as well. So you can say, hey, you could be running Windows, but you go to a site that doesn't like Windows websites or window browsers. And because some of them will just shut down and will just not let you access them. So it basically fools the server to say, hey, I'm running this particular operating system and this particular browser. So
that's actually a handy tool to have
because
I know some websites are a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I haven't seen it in a long while, but I know that they did exist at one time. Medusa, your thoughts?
Bang, zoom. Bang zoom right over my head, but I do have this to put in. Mm-hmm. Whatever man makes, man can break.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
So if it can be created, it can be undone. So none of this surprises me, especially when it comes to Mr. Zuckerberg.
Right.
And I could have said that much more nastily, but I chose not to.
Yeah.
You know, the tech is always over my head. But, again, whatever man creates, man can break. There's going to be somebody who's going to come along and be able to get in there and undo things. Mm-hmm. Why? Just because they can and to show the rest of us that they're able to do it.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. You basically said it right there in a nutshell. If it can be made, it can be broken. It's easy enough. It's just a matter of time in some cases.
Yeah.
All right.
That's how I feel.
All right. Well, let's get going to our next topic. We have got two movie reviews for you tonight. We are going to be reviewing the first movie, Zero Dark Thirty. No, 30 Dark Zero? What is it? What is it, Joe?
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. Okay. Sometimes I get my zeros and thirties mixed up there. But no, it's Zero Dark Thirty, where they did like a documentary type style of how they went over and got Bin Laden and I got to see the trailer to this afternoon, and it's... wow, it looks really good. And there's this one particular scene where they say, if you get on their list, you never get off their list, and they will come for you. So not that I'm worried about these Islams people coming after me because they don't know who the hell I am. But anyway, the movie, it takes place in Pakistan when they went over and they killed Bin Laden. This happened a couple of years ago. Unless you've been living under a rock and hadn't heard this, Bin Laden's dead by now. So
wait, he's dead?
He's dead, yes.
Get the fuck out. When did that happen?
Yes. A couple of years ago. That's why they made this movie about it. Joe, you actually saw this movie. Would you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Zero Dark Thirty tells the story of a CIA analyst that has an obsessive desire to locate Osama bin Laden. She spent 12 years chasing down leads and surviving assassination attempts until she finally locates the infamous bin Laden compound. The movie climaxes with the Navy SEAL team raid that kills bin Laden. So it's like Titanic. You sit down in the theater, you know how it's going to end. But it's the journey to get there that makes the story. It's directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who is a great director. She won the Oscar for directing The Hurt Locker. And this year, this movie got nominated for a bunch of awards, including but not winning Best Picture.
It didn't win Best Picture?
No, it didn't.
All those explosions and people getting shot didn't win Best Picture?
Argo won.
Oh, well, Argo. Yeah, that was
Argo.
Bigger
explosion.
I actually finally got to finish watching that movie. Joe and I were having a little conversation a couple days ago, and he's like, you got to sit down and watch the movie all one time. It's like, no, I have a tendency. I watch a movie like most people read a book. I pick it up. I watch some of it. I put it back down, pick it up a few days later.
I was guilty of that.
I've done that too, but I don't know how you could do that for every movie.
I can. Well, there's been a few movies I actually sit and watch it through, of course, and I had to get up in an hour and go to work.
Right.
But no, this looks like a really interesting movie. Medusa, you said you've seen this movie. What do you think?
It was a compelling movie. I mean, there was something comforting about knowing how they went about catching him and disposing of him.
Yeah.
As a problem, that it's riveting. It is like the Titanic. It's an accident waiting to happen, but you can't take your eyes off of it.
Yeah, a good movie will do that to you. It's like I gotta watch. What's gonna happen next? What's happening next?
It's like the next page of a good book. You know, the ones you don't want to put down because you don't want to go to sleep. It's like that.
Yes.
It just drags you right through it.
Yes.
Right, Joseph?
Yeah, I thought this was a good movie. I especially enjoyed the last 20 minutes of it, which depicted the Bin Laden raid. Another great moment in this movie is when CIA director played by James Gandolfini sits down with the analyst played by Jessica Chastain in the lunchroom of the CIA headquarters. He sits down with her. He normally doesn't eat in there. That's for like the lower level people. Mm-hmm. He sits down with her and starts talking to her, and they have this great conversation. It's like somebody else pointed out to me too. They're like, that was a good scene. I was like, yeah, it was a good scene. And he asks her, like, you know, what else have you done? Like, we hired you right out of high school. What else have you done at the CIA? And she's like, I've done nothing else. I've only looked for him.
Oh, jeez.
So she was obsessive. She was really looking for this guy.
There was, not to interrupt you real quick, but you were talking about the characters. There's one character that was in there. He's also, if I'm not mistaken, since I just did get finally finished watching Argo, one of the characters who was in that movie, I mean, I saw it in the trailer. He was also in the Argo movie as well. I'm not sure exactly what his name is, but
that's quite possible. I'm not sure who.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly his name, but I know I have this eye for faces, and I the thing was, he was both playing in the CIA in both videos. So
right. You know what's really interesting is this month the Esquire magazine got an exclusive interview with the Navy SEAL that shot Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up a copy this week, and I actually read the entire article. It's a long article, and he tells firsthand the story of what happened and seeing bin Laden alive and then seeing him dead after he shot him.
Wow.
And it's a crazy story. And one of the coolest parts of the story is they brought the body back to Afghanistan, and the woman who is depicted in the movie for hunting bin Laden, she was there to verify the identity of the body. So they opened the body bag and they showed her the body and they said, is that him? And she said, yes, that's him. He immediately discharged or took out the magazine from his rifle, the rifle that he shot him with.
All right.
Took out the magazine, handed it to her and said, do you have room in your bag for this? And she took it. He gave it to her as a souvenir.
Oh,
thank you for getting him.
Oh,
quite something.
I would have had the shell casing.
Those were on the floor. But yeah, there's 27 bullets left in the clip because the three bullets were in Bin Laden's head.
Ooh. That's amazing. That's all it takes to take somebody out is just three bullets. Sometimes it just takes one. So.
Yeah. He shot him three times in the head.
Yeah. That's what I heard. There's this comedian. I forget which one who said this, but he said that his father took him out hunting, and he said he had two shots, but there was only one bullet hole in the animal. He says, "Oh, I didn't want to ruin the meat, so I put the bullet hole through the first one." So he's That's like, "I don't want to mess with this guy." It may have been Foxworthy. I don't know. Or it was somebody else. But I remember the quote. I just don't remember who said it. But it was really funny. Anyway, let's get to our next movie. Here is Red Dawn, and the movie. This is a remake. This is not the original. The original came out in the 80s, and it looked like it came out in the 80s. You know, this one here. I looked at the trailer on this one here, and what they did was they did something a little differently. With the original one, they just had people just landing on the football field and then start shooting the place up. The new one, they had dropped some bomb or did some kind of device, shut off some kind of device where all the power goes off everywhere. And then they infiltrate the United States. There's a lot of explosions. There's not much drama in this as far as I can tell, but it looks... A lot of the plot lines are following the original, and some of the way they take out the bad guys in this are pretty much the same. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, two words: shit balls.
Not that good?
I grew up watching the original Red Dawn, mm-hmm. and while it's not the best movie ever made, or even politically or militarily plausible, even for Cold War era, I did enjoy it because it was exciting, it had a lot of action, and the characters changed while suffering through the struggle of war. Mm-hmm. It had Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, and Jennifer Grey, and, you know, it was a crazy movie.
Yes.
Like I said, I've actually talked to people recently about the politics and the military of it, and it is really implausible. Like, it could not have happened the way that movie depicted it.
You mean the original, right?
The original, right.
Right.
It was complete fantasy. Right. But it was fun fantasy. It was fun to watch. And I still enjoy watching. It was on TV recently. So they remade Red Dawn, and I was kind of excited about it. I was like, all right, cool. And the remake pays a lot of homage to the original, but drops the ball when it comes to meter and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the scenes seem glued together, like one to the next, without having much of a smooth flow. And again, this Red Dawn is both politically and militarily implausible by today's post-Cold War standards.
Right.
The invading army was North Korea, which is laughable.
Dennis Rodman was there yesterday.
I know, right? Well, actually, he was the first guy parachuting out of the plane in the movie. So
carrying a basketball?
Yes. He was throwing basketball to people. He was getting fouls as he parachuted to the ground. But
foul!
I love
North
your
Koreans
hair.
Drove around in American vehicles. They all drove Humvees with North Korean logos on them. And I'm sitting there like, how did the North Koreans get Humvees? Those are GM vehicles. Like, what the hell?
You know what they did? They did a special order first before they came over.
Right. And they got them on eBay.
Yeah, they bought them on eBay.
And in the new movie, the resistance fighters are once again the football team, the Wolverines. And they lived in the woods, and in this one, they actually lived in an old mine for a little while. Mm. But they regularly use their cell phones as cameras. Now, okay. I live in a house full of outlets, and sometimes my shit runs low.
Yes.
These people were in the woods, casually playing with phones all the time for months.
Yeah, you know, I have a cell phone, and it loses power just after, you know, a few hours. I mean, months?
Exactly. And they're sitting there, like, playing off with dialogue, like, yo, is your phone still working? And it's like, dude, you've been in the woods for months.
Oh,
like, it was winter when you – oh, man.
Well, they must be sneaking into town and saying, oh, don't mind me. I'm just charging up my phone. I'll be gone in a few minutes. Oh, by the way, I'm going to come back and kill you later.
That's another thing. The original Red Dawn took place on the Great Plains, so – a lot of the fighting took place in Great Plains or mountainous terrain.
Right.
This one takes place, I think it's like a suburb of Seattle or something. They're in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is urban warfare. and the Wolverines are just walking around or running around in plain daylight, sometimes with machine guns in their hand. And it's like, dude, you're in the middle of the street with a machine gun and nobody's shooting at you? It was very
No one notices that. Everybody carries a machine gun in Seattle. You know, it's right. like wearing a certain rose on your pedal.
Right, especially when they're occupied by a foreign military. They're like, oh, well, oh, they're Americans. They always walk around with machine guns in their hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of the battle scenes were very unrealistic, too. Like, they were jumping from rooftop to rooftop, sometimes with falls that were, like, 25 feet. Now, a fall of 15 feet can break your leg.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were just like, oh, we're tough. And, like, they were jumping through windows and, like, landing on rooftops. And I'm like, are you serious?
Oh,
are you at one scene, they jumped from the second floor of a building to the first floor because it was open like a mall with walkways. And they were just like, oh, casually jumping from floor to floor. I'm like, you know, these guys are going to break their fucking legs doing that shit. Like,
or their necks.
They couldn't think of a better way to make the scene. They're like, all right, we're going to have them jump from the second floor to the first floor.
Why don't they just have them all wear cowls and dress like Batman? It would have been a little bit more in reality then, and they're shooting off some cross, you know. Batman meets Red Dawn, you know.
Right. I think the makers of this movie loved the original, and I think they had high hopes for this, but they just fell short. They just, like, in the process of making, the studio did run out of money. And there was a lot of problems with getting the movie out. And I remember following the director on Facebook, and he was like, I'm so sorry. I know everybody wants to see my movie, but, you know, we're kind of like in between studios right now. And they're lucky they even got the movie made.
Yeah. Because
of all the problems they had with it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. It just this movie sounds like it was just a whole convoluted piece of shit that they decided, like, hey, let's throw a little bit of the old, and we'll throw some new. And throw it in the blender and see what it turns into. And it,
yeah.
So.
Well, it sounds like Lincoln versus the Vampires.
That was a better movie than this.
That's not saying much either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm not sure I want to either.
Joseph has.
I know Joe has.
I saw it in the theater.
Poor Charles.
All right. Let's get moving on to our next topic. Florida. Well, what can we say about Florida? Florida, there's a site out there, which I don't go to anymore because I had a disagreement with them. I won't say their fucking name. Anyway, they have a tag. They have a special tag just for Florida, just for the crazy shit that happens in Florida. And this Florida man got shot. Well, you know, people get shot. It happens. It's not fun, but it happens.
All the time.
And it happens all the time. In this particular one, this man was shot and wounded by his dog. But the police officer said, well, we've not filed charges against the dog. You want to explain that one again there, Super Fuzz? Why would you charge a fucking dog? It was apparently the gun fell down, and this gun that was unloaded, it was supposed to be a .380 or 380, whatever that is, .0380, and it turns out it was a 9mm gun. So there, you know, 9mm and a .380 gun are two different things. And he said that the gun was supposedly unloaded. You know, anybody that says, yeah, the gun's unloaded, don't fucking trust them, because any gun can be loaded. It doesn't take but one second to think a gun is loaded or unloaded rather, and have a serious consequence to that. So if you're out there with your gun and you think it's unloaded and you're traveling with it, yeah, you might want to check it. And double check it, then triple check it, then quadruple check it. Joe, your thoughts?
When I first saw this article, I thought the man shot the dog, and I got mad. But then I read the article, and the dog shot the man, and that's okay because it's his own damn fault for driving around with a loaded pistol in the cab of his truck.
Right.
And what is really funny is, like you mentioned, the article says that the police decided not to arrest the dog.
I know. It's like, what kind of – I think that's where the Florida tag came in. It wasn't even the dog shooting the guy. It was like, oh, we're not going to arrest the dog. We're not going to press charges.
It's Florida, so they probably figured the dog stood his ground.
Yeah.
If his pet gator shot him, they would arrest the gator.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what was really funny is that this is only one of the string of instances of bizarre shootings that happened in Florida. Apparently, last week, according to the article, some woman got shot by her friend's oven. So
you got to watch out for ovens. They're packing heat.
I know.
They are.
Nice pun.
Pack and pop. Pack and pop ovens.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Joe?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Medusa, your thoughts?
No, pack and pop ovens. I'm going to market some and sell them in Florida.
Yeah.
Because people aren't too bright down there.
Yeah. And by the way, the guy's name is Gregory Dale Lanier. He's age 35 of frostproof Florida, which I think they've actually had frost on there once or twice. So they're not quite as frostproof as they thought. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Medusa.
No, you guys keep on covering everything. So I just come in with a punchline.
Oh, okay.
People put their guns in their ovens. They get what they deserve.
You know, I've actually heard of that. People will think, well, I'll just hide the gun in the oven. Who's going to look for it there? And then they forget, and then, well, then...
Preheat to 450.
Uh-huh.
It happens.
Yeah, and the friend comes over, oh, you're going to preheat your oven. Okay, I'll just turn that on for you, and boom. No, don't preheat the oven. Yikes. Apparently, the guy said he's never heard of a case similar to that, so I was like, I've actually heard of stories like this where the dog is supposedly shot the owner accidentally, and it's usually when they're out hunting, not when they're out driving around in the car.
Exactly.
So, but and those other ones, most of those end up in tragedy because the guy ends up dying, and they realize that the dog actually shot the guy, or in the very least that the guy got off with a flesh wound at least. So.
Gallows humor.
Yes. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic here, or next story, rather. This guy, he owned $7,500 worth of porn. You know, there's a lot of things you can collect in life. You can collect stamps. You can collect baseball cards. This guy, I'm going to collect porn. And then he had it. Someone broke into his house and then stole it all. He said that some of those videos were, and they did an interview with the guy, and the guy was, wow, this guy's kind of a jet job. He was, he said, well, there's some really old vintage stuff that you can't even find on the internet anymore. I'm sure it wasn't for lack of looking, I'm sure. Maybe it was. Maybe it was that rare. I don't know. But the fact is that this guy's collecting all, and the thing was, it wasn't just any porn. It was specifically black porn because he got all the black actors from the earliest 1970s and up. So I suppose there are some people out there that would collect kind of stuff like this. But he said he would watch this stuff with his girlfriend, and she looked like she was freaking out. She was like happy that his porn got stolen. So I kind of think she kind of had – maybe she had something to do with it. But then she's like –
She said, honey, you be mad. He's like, why? Your porn is gone.
Yeah.
And she said, how do you quantify porn?
Yeah.
You know, put a price tag on porn.
Well, how do you put a price tag on anything?
My porn's worth more than your porn.
Yeah, well, how do you put a price tag on anything? You know, it's the same kind of system, I guess. It's just a matter of how you decide you want to divvy it up, I suppose. But it was just so funny. It's like, well, I watch it, and then we kind of do some of the stuff, and it's like, she's like, we don't, there's some of that stuff that just turned nasty for me. Joe, your thoughts?
Interesting fun fact. Pee Wee Herman collects vintage porn.
Really?
But I don't think it's the same kind of porn that this guy was collecting.
Probably not.
Pee Wee Herman collects, like, you know, I heard it was like 1950s, 1960s, cake art, you know, like pinups and stuff like that, like real expensive fancy stuff. But it is cake? Interesting that the host
cake art, I'm not familiar with that term.
That
one I'm not familiar with. I've heard a lot over the years.
Pinup, and I think cake pinup, like Betty Page kind of stuff.
Betty Page, not heard
yes.
that name.
Oh yes,
I've not heard that name before. See, now you taught me something tonight.
Right. Now, look up Betty Page. She had a good resurgence in the 90s. They started putting her face on, like, T-shirts and lunchboxes and stuff.
They made a movie about her.
Yeah, there was a great movie about her. I saw that. And somebody actually said, hey, is she still alive? And she's still alive. And they said, well, we're selling all this stuff with her likeness on it. Is she even getting any money? So they went and looked her up, and they're like, holy crap, she's still alive. She's like 90-something, but she's still alive. Mm. So all these people started to share with her the profits voluntarily.
Oh, well, that was nice.
Like, she didn't have to sue them. They were just like, she's still alive. Let's give her some of this.
Oh, well, that was awfully nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she can't, but, you know, work anymore.
Right, yeah.
My hip is broken. I can't move it.
She doesn't allow herself to be photographed anymore because she wants people to remember her from the – she did pinup stuff back in the 1950s.
Days. Yeah.
Yeah, 1950s she was doing stuff. But this guy that got his porn stolen, the video was kind of funny. I liked watching him talk about his porn. He said a lot of funny things. Like he said a guy in Connecticut told him that he had the best porn collection in all of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that this gentleman in Connecticut is an expert on Michigan porn collections.
Caught like, that, did you?
I can say with authority, sir, that you have the best porn collection in all the state of Michigan.
Maybe he's out there for a porn collection, you know, or a porn conversation.
He's got to be like online talking to other porn collectors, like, you know, and like posting what he's got. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got that out of print movie, blah, blah, blah. I got it on DVD. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said, that the guy came over and he looked at the just the labels, you know, on the front of the page there, just so he could take a look and see what was on there. So
mm-hmm. He said that the collection was worth $7,500.
Yes.
If you're talking Betty Page, I can see I'm looking at Betty Page images right now, and she was hot, hot, hot.
She was very, she did a lot of, dominatrix stuff back in the 50s.
Really?
And that was very controversial. Like, she would be photographed, like, holding a whip with a man tied up beneath her.
Oh, and
people
do that
kind of
stuff.
This is, like, 1953.
Oh,
these kind of things.
The movie made her out to be, if I'm not mistaken, a conservative Christian.
She became a conservative Christian, and she was kind of naive about what she was doing. They were just like, okay, now we want you to hold this whip and stand over this guy who's tied up. And she's like, oh, okay, ha, 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 we're taking pictures. And back then, porn wasn't like, you know, you couldn't walk into a drugstore and buy a Playboy back then. It was before Playboy.
Right.
You had to actually get porn under the counter from certain newsstands. You know, people would have illegal pictures. It was actually illegal in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
And you would have to, like, trust, you know who you could go to and be like, yo, you got pictures? And they would be like, yeah, I got some fresh Betty Page pictures right here.
Oh, yeah.
And you do a little transaction, unmarked bag, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that brings a whole new term to the brown paper bag.
your bottle of booze, your Betty Page, you're good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. What you got in the bag? Oh, just some booze. Oh, okay. Unless it was during Prohibition, then you were kind of fucked. Medusa, your thoughts?
Those were my thoughts. Those were my thoughts interjected.
Did you see
there.
The Betty Page movie?
Mm. Oh, yes, I did, and I loved
it.
It
was great, wasn't
it?
It was awesome.
I have not seen that yet.
It was terrific. And the fact that she won't let herself be photographed now just proves that she's still the ingenue, that she'll remain that fantasy pinup girl.
You know what's you said this woman used to be a conservative Christian, or is a conservative Christian? Yeah.
She is now.
Oh, she became a conservative Christian. You know that I saw this. All right, I saw this on Facebook. And there's this. It says all the women who used to be sluts in high school are all now out reading Bible passages.
Well, you go to prison, you find Jesus.
Yeah,
there's
well,
all kinds of them there.
Yeah,
that's what I like to say.
Yeah,
I feel bad about what I did in my life, so now I have to do something to make myself feel better about it.
Right. Well, I always say, well, by the time I get around to them, it's like, why couldn't you have waited just one more month? one more day, give me a chance. I can change your mind. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't give in, Packard.
Well, if he's saving you, why didn't you step in before you killed all those people?
Oh, well, hell, you know.
You moron.
I know. I'm just kind of goofy like that. All
I'm
right.
Calling you a moron, Packard. I'm...
Oh, them. Oh, well, whatever.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like,
they are morons.
Oh, all right.
Boil them.
Right. Right. Okay, well, let's get into our next topic.
No sex, no drugs, no wine, no women, no fun, no sin, no you, no wonder it's dark.
We're going to be talking tonight about Papua New Guinea, out there, they had some people who were being accused of witches. Being accused of it, you know, being accused of something, that's fine to a point. I mean, if it's detrimental to you, then it gets a little more out of hand. Unfortunately, this detriment went so far because the accusation was so great that the people out there, and they're so superstitious and backwards, that they put these two women, set these two women on fire. One woman actually was set on fire and killed. And what was really odd about this particular story, the suspects that were among the crowd attacking the women, who were tied to poles and were about to be burnt, also present was a glass man who claimed to have supernatural powers and who identified the luckless women as sorcerers and claimed that they were responsible for a child's death. First of all, let's back that truck up for just a second, okay? This guy, he claims to have supernatural powers, and he's like, oh, well, look over there. These women are sorcerers. Okay, doesn't that, if you claim to have supernatural powers, don't you have, aren't you also some kind of sorcerer or witch or warlock or whatever at that same process, in that same thought process? Really? And the thing is, you know, these people out there are putting people to death because of super fucking stition. I've said this on the show before when we had this discussion. There is no fucking thing as witches. I don't fucking care what you believe you are. There is no fucking thing as a witch, okay? You can't do magic spells. You can't twinkle your nose and pop from one place and pop into ethereal plane like they used to do on the TV show Bewitched. It doesn't work that way. Witches do not exist. Stop putting people to death. Stop reading the fucking Bible and saying you must suffer. No, a witch must not suffer to live. Because this is fucking patently absurd. Joe, your thoughts.
It's not a good time to be a witch in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, no shit.
I'll tell you that. I wonder what these people think of the Harry Potter movies.
Or what they do on Halloween. Sorry.
celebrate that.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was bad.
Well, I mean, this is really, really crazy. According to one of these articles, witchcraft is often cited as the cause of misfortune. And these people work themselves into a hysteria, single out women, torture them, burn them for being witches. And this is just insane. It's yet another example of supernatural beliefs doing real world harm. And it's good that the police are in this country trying to end the practice. And they have actually saved women from fiery death.
Yeah.
But they can't be everywhere at once.
No.
And some women have actually perished. They burned a 20-year-old mother I don't know how many kids she had. They were a 20-year-old mother on a pile of tires. They drowned her in gas and threw her on a pile of tires
and
burned
terrible.
Her. For being a witch. For being a witch. For being something that's pretend. It's not real.
Right.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Exactly. You know, and this is – and they said they had 20 people who were arrested – over this. I mean, this is...
Yes, but arrested for what and how long will they stay in jail? That's my question.
Right.
Medusa, arrested 20 in one incident and 40 in the other.
Right. Medusa, your thoughts on this?
That's my thought. Is that they arrest people, but how long do they keep them in? Do they just arrest a few people to placate the public and to show them, look, we mean business?
Yeah.
Or do they actually keep them in jail? You know, it's the strength of the enforcement that's going to do away with this kind of superstition. You know, you have to keep the people in jail. It's like stoning people in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq. People who do that, everyone, I don't care if it's the whole fucking village, should be put in jail. Anybody who picked up a rock, anybody who lit a match and threw it on the women.
Right.
To emulate them. They should be in jail for the rest of their lives. But, you know, unfortunately, Western jurisprudence has not come to that country yet. And I don't know if it would help because it doesn't always help in this country either. So you know, we have superstitions in this country. We've got people dancing with rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they said that's biblical. You know, there are some superstitions. They're pretty fucking harmless, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to walk underneath the ladder, which is, you know, good advice anyway, because you never know if a paint can's going to come flying down on top of your head. Or, you know, someone spills salt and they throw some over their shoulder, unless it gets in the eye of the person behind them, you know, which
you don't. I can't remember which shoulder.
I could never remember which shoulder, so I said, fuck it, I did both. Boom.
That's so superstitious I am. Yeah. We'll just do both.
Yeah, I used to do that. I don't anymore because my daughter kind of like, is like, why are you doing that? Like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. So I was like,
because she has to mop the floor.
Yeah, well, in my house, really?
I was friends with a guy. He, like, if salt spilled, he would pick up a pinch of it, and he would make the sign of the cross and throw it at the person in front of him and say, dandruff of Christ, dandruff of Christ.
Dandruff of Christ?
Yeah.
Dandruff of Christ?
Dandruff of Christ.
Criminy.
He would do it in diners. Like, I'd be sitting across the table from him in a diner, and you know, he would, like, dump out some salt, and he would pick some up, and I'd be like, oh, here it comes. He'd be like, dandruff of Christ. He would throw it at me, making the sign of the cross with the salt.
Right.
I'm just like, thank you. Thank you, dude. He's like, no problem.
Next time, aim for the French fries, okay?
You hit everything.
The French fries, me.
Yeah, that you should tell. Listen, say, hey, dude, I am not a French fry. You do not, unless you plan on putting ketchup on me, keep the salt to yourself, all right?
Well, I thought it was funny. I thought he was being funny.
So oh, okay, yeah.
I never got mad at him for it.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
I would get pissed off after a while because, you know, the thing is, you know where salt comes from. There's salt mines under Lake Michigan. And that's where they dig out all the salt. So if it's coming from Jesus Christ, well, apparently he's about 20 feet under the Lake of Michigan getting the salt. So
that sounds very Mormon.
It might those mines might be a lot deeper than that. But I think that it's pretty close to that. It's been a long time since I actually studied that. So, but the salt mines are under Lake Michigan. It's really fascinating, actually.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures. And, you
know,
of that.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, people, they say they get sea salt. Well, that's sea salt right there. It's the same thing. It's mm-hmm. It's the same damn thing.
It's evaporated seawater.
Yes, exactly. The weird thing about, well, we're kind of getting off topic here, but salt is just a rock that we eat.
And it's delicious.
And it is. It is good.
But
it's good.
The size of the mines is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could put a house on
there. Vehicles are just dwarfed in there.
Oh, yeah.
I know we're off topic, but, yeah, it's really quite something.
Yes, yes.
We should get Michael to dig up some photographs for us.
Yeah, definitely.
I enjoy my potato chips with lots of rocks.
Yeah. I like
me
my I like too. I say I like a little food with my salt. well, let's get going to our next topic or next subject here, our next part of our story, our next part of the show here. Anyway, we're going to be doing our discussion tonight on predetermination, predestination.
They tend to go with predestination.
Yeah, and predestination, predetermination, and I found this great photo online. It's a quote from Stephen Hawking, and he says, I have noticed that people who claim everything is predestined and that we can do nothing to change it look both ways before they cross the road.
That's great.
That's a great one. We're going to start the timer.
You know what's funny about that quote?
What?
Sorry to interrupt you. Is Stephen Hawking got hit by a car crossing the road.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was in his wheelchair and he was crossing the road and he didn't time it right, and he got hit. He
oh,
got knocked
geez.
Out of his chair.
I did not hear about that. When did that happen?
Oh, years and years
oh,
ago.
Oh, man, I didn't hear about that.
God.
Okay, well, we're going to start the time, and there it goes. And Medusa, since you've been going second, you can start us off.
Yes, please. I yield to Medusa.
Yes.
Why me? What did I do?
Because you're an expert on this stuff.
You're an expert on predetermination.
Oh, only because I went to Eastern Orthodox Bible school.
Sure.
And they really, really, Theophan the Recluse, and because I'm Greek, I can say that, Bishop Theophan, that's as high as we go. We don't have a pope in Eastern Orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe that there's some little old man named Pope whose God is whispering in his ear. We think that's just insane talk. And we have a lot of disdain for the Pope. So keep Roman Catholicism way out of this. Because when you get into predetermination, let me go up here to this one page I'm referring to. It's absolutely stupefying the different levels of predestination that they have. They have conditional predestination, temporal predestination, infraliparianism, single predestination. I mean, it goes on and on. Lutheran, Calvinism, Karl Barth's view. But I like the simplicity of Eastern Orthodoxy, wherein the answer is simply this. It's impossible to know things beforehand. Even God can't know them. That's what we say. So we say, hedge your bets. Be well behaved, just in case everything is preordained and you are going to hell. Maybe if you're good, you won't. So that's kind of the answer I'm leaning towards. There is no such thing as predestination. It's a fantasy land.
Yeah.
It's every much a fantasy land as the notion of heaven. Heaven is a fantasy land, is it not?
As far as I know, it is.
And so is hell, as far as I know. So, in my mind, so is predestination. You just cannot know. So you have to be a good person and walk that straight line just in case there might be divine determination.
Right.
And we get screwed. That's kind of my thought, is not do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but that is kind of how I lead my life. If I don't want this guy I don't know to be a jerk to me, I'm not going to be a jerk to him. And it doesn't have anything to do with religion or predetermination or going to heaven or going to hell. I just want people to be nice to me, so I'm nice to them.
Yes.
And that is as far up the ladder, that's one rung up the ladder of predetermination, and I don't think you're going to get any further than that in understanding it.
Yeah.
And because free will comes in with predetermination, and it screws everything up for God, man's free will. You've got to understand that God gave man free will. Well, that screws divine determination up from the get-go.
Yeah. That's like saying, you know, because if God already knows what's going to happen to you, then free will doesn't exist. Because
exactly.
he's already predetermined what's going to happen to you. So,
correct.
Yeah. So, Joe, you got like 2 minutes left here.
Okay, yeah. Predetermination seems to walk hand in hand with the common concept of fate. It's a philosophical idea that seems to make claims of special knowledge and further commits the fallacy of false cause. The claim that everything we do, say, think, everything that happens to us was predetermined would be required to be demonstrated and proven. And as Medusa mentioned, this also seems to run contrary to another philosophical notion of free will. But in my limited reading on this, I found that some philosophers feel predetermination and free will are reliant on each other, which kind of confuses me. Further, if everything was predetermined, who determined it for us?
Right.
Was it a god or gods? Or is there a bunch of transdimensional beings that look like mice running the earth like a giant maze for all of us to run through? If God is the predeterminer, then one must first demonstrate that there is a god before they can move on to show that life was predetermined for us.
Yeah. It's... You know, the whole predetermination thing, I've said this before, if God is not in, if everything God does is, or God anyway, is in control, then free will doesn't exist. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. The two are mutually exclusive. It's like saying, if I were to, it says here, This is like a part. This is one argument from free will here. It says if one cell, for example, if a man is made of cells and cells do not have free will, the man does not have free will. But that's kind of stupid because some cells have, well, free will because they do what they want to anyway without you, and the other ones don't. Another one is if an airplane put all together can fly, but the parts individually can't fly. So,
but then you have statements like this from Catholic catechism that says God predestines no one to go to hell. Well, does he or doesn't he?
Right.
Does he color his hair or doesn't he color his hair?
It's like.
No, you go.
Well, it's like George Carlin said, if God has a plan, then why pray?
Right. Because exactly. why spend all that time putting together a universe when you can some guy with a $2 prayer book can come in and fuck up your plan? What good is the plan then? And that's our time. So I think this is a good discussion here. So
yeah, that was good and heated.
Yep. Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So predetermination, I think, is a total fucking waste of time and total fucking bullshit. And tonight's funny tweet comes from Hamazul. I can't even pronounce it. It's Hamadzul, and he retweets autocorrects. That's AUTOCORRECTS. He says, have you ever spelled something so badly that even your spell check doesn't know what the hell you're trying to spell?
Yes. Just added to the dictionary.
The short answer is yes.
I've done that. For my job, I have to type in certain people's names, and they have some really weird last names. And it would automatically correct it to something else. So I had to turn off the autocorrect on that. It would underline it, but it's still, it's just so weird.
I get into fierce battles with autocorrect.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm quick tweeting, like if I'm in a furious debate, I'm like, oh yeah? Buh. And they write back to me like, what the fuck was that? So I go and look at my tweet, I'm like, ah, oh, crap.
It has nothing to do with anything else, right? So
yeah, it changes like, you know, like prove it to, you know, shove it in your asshole.
Right.
Like, really? Really? That's what I meant? That's what you think I meant?
Poinking.
Yes, yes. Definitely. So, yeah, that was quite the funny tweet. All right, let's get into our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from Medusa, and that's for HanCS. That's HanSCS. Medusa, can you tell us about Hans SES?
Well, he's a logical person. Everything I believe in is evidence-based, no exceptions. That line caught my eye. He's a liberal-leaning politically. He's a single individual, atheist. He works as an engineer. And he seems to be new to Twitter, but he's pretty active tweeter, and he consistently tweets with other atheists and about atheism, and so I decided to follow him, and he followed me right back, and we've had some interesting conversations, so I would give him a look in his timeline, and you'll find some interesting people there, and some interesting thoughts and good articles.
Oh, cool, cool. Is there anything else you can tell us about him?
No, he has not revealed anything about himself to me yet.
Okay.
But I am delving. He lives in Redwood Shores, California.
He lives out in California. Well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. At least he's close to me.
Yeah. So if you're out there on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, why don't you give Hans SES a follow? That's HanSCS. Okay. That's it for us tonight. We used to have another segment, but we are, as of tonight, that segment has been canceled due to creative differences. Anyway, I'm glad that we did have some people that come up to the chat room who decided to, you know, at least join us for a while. And I want to thank you people out there for listening. We are coming close up to our 100th episode very shortly. This is we're at, what is this? I think this is episode 98. We got two more episodes. We'll have episode 100, yeah. And next week, we have a special guest. We did a video of his on the show here, Number One Son, and he will be joining us next week. So be sure you come out to see him on the show, and we'll talk with the creator of that really cool video we saw. All right. Again, thank you all for coming. This has been Packard Pokeset. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible, does God keep anger forever? In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12, we are told, "For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Yet also in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 4, we read, "Ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever." Did you like that, kids? Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.